So you care about people, as so do I. And that's why we've been studying about being all in order to reach out. It's not enough for us to be successful in and of ourselves. We want to help other people be successful as well. So in this conclusion part of this teaching on all in order to reach out, we're going to talk about how do you follow through with somebody that you've already talked to, reached, they've responded to some way. Where do they go from there? How do you nourish them forward? So our subject today is this one. It's called This is Discipleship. Notice what it says. Declare ye among the nations. Publish it. Set up a standard. Publish it and conceal it not. In fact, the key of this is simply a translation of this scripture that says, go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life. Well, how do you do that? How do you train somebody? How do you get somebody who's a brand new Christian to grow forward? So that is indeed our subject. And that's the commission the Lord gave us. Remember, go therefore and teach, baptizing, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And this is the promise he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Now, here's an interesting thing about reaching other people and maturing them, helping them grow forward, is that we do it out of joy. Notice this verse where David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Now watch this. Because then I will teach transgressors thy ways. Then sinners shall be converted unto thee. But the part I really want you to get is simply this part about having the joy of your salvation. This is not a burden. This is a happy, delightful activity that we're involved in, helping people grow up in the Lord, mature, develop, so they can help somebody else. That's we do that with joy. So I want to share with you today the essence of discipleship. It's going to be concise and precise. I've been teaching this probably 50 years, and it certainly helped me. How do we train everyone we meet in this way of life? Well, obviously, the first step is what we call being reborn. Jesus said, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Nicodemus said to him, how can this happen? When he's an old man, can he go the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And of course, we know this is an analogy, right? And so Jesus come back and says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You have to be. This is necessity. Don't be shocked. Don't be amazed. Marvel not that you have to have this fundamental change. Being born into the kingdom, from moving from one king to another. This transition is referred to in biblical terms as being, it's like getting born all over again. It's like a brand new start, and it is that for a whole lot of people. That's why the Holy Spirit's so important, because the next verse says the wind blows where it lists. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Every soul is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In fact, let's look at this verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, in other words, no egg sperm here that's corrupted, but being born of an incorruptible seed. And what is that? What does one have to receive into himself to experience this rebirth? Here it is. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The moment you believe in truth, the word of God, transformation takes place. Everything becomes new. Jesus said, old things would pass away Everything would become, because you'd be born into a whole new way of life. Now, I'm reminded of the old saying, unless there is within us that which is above us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. See, what happens is, at this rebirth, it's the entrance of Jesus himself into our lives by his Spirit. He comes in and transforms men. Well, you know the story. God formed us. Sin deformed us. Men try to reform us. But Christ transforms us. Because when he comes in, everything becomes new. And your power to live the right way is given to you. Because remember that great scripture. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So now you've got this glorious entrance into you that gives you the power. I love what Bonhoeffer said. He said, only those who really believe obey. And only those who obey really believe. So with this glorious entrance of Jesus into our lives, the power to live right, to do right, to treat other people properly is given to us. So it begins with being reborn. Now, to help you, because I don't want to spend 5 hours with you at the moment, but you could go online to nothingbutthetruth.org, and you'll find a video there called How to Know You Are a Genuine Christian. There's another one there called Amazing Grace. And there's another couple more. There's more. True Repentance. No fake Christianity here. And then the one called The Danger of Misrepresented Grace, a really critical teaching. Because false gospels have entered the church. False ideas of what grace really is. Here's one called Obedience and Evidence of True Salvation. And iniquity and arson. Because you see, Jesus doesn't just come to deliver us from sin. He comes to take away the iniquity of us all, which is narcissism. So all this is available under this subject, the first thing about being born again. Now, I want to show you the next step. Once a person becomes a Christian, I want to show you the next step. First, let's take a look at Scripture. Here it is. Seek ye the Lord while he might be found, and call upon him while he is near. Now, watch this next verse. Let the wicked forsake his way. Now watch this. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his thoughts. So notice here now, step number two. Number one is become a Christian. Get your heart right with God. But the next thing that we must do is get our heads right. We must learn to think right. Think God's way about every subject that touches our lives. Now watch this. Here's the progress. You sought the Lord while he may be found. So when we have wrong thoughts, let him forsake his way, and the unrighteous man, let's get rid of our old way of thinking and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon to our God. He will abundantly pardon. So what's really happening here is step two. Number one, get your heart right by being reborn. Number two, the next thing every new Christian must do is get their head right. Get their thinking right. Ha! And this is delightful. When I first started out as a Christian, I made notebook, turned into 5 notebooks. And I had this rethink thing going. And I would have a page on every subject that God had thoughts about. And I would list them. And I would write down the scripture, state the principle, and then how does it apply to me? Scripture, principle, application on every subject I could think of. Now, why do we want God's thoughts? So I want to show you this because this is really exciting. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. I don't think the way you think. In fact, he said, as the heavens are higher than the earth. so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's why you want God's thoughts. Look at the scripture one more time. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher. You think this way about a subject, but I think this way about a subject. And the greatest step forward after you become a Christian sincerely is to learn to think God's thoughts about every subject that touches your life. Remember, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Now that's the heavens, the closest galaxy to us is 200,000 light years away. Whoa, that's just the closest galaxy. And, you know, we invented some years ago the radio or radar telescope where we penetrate the universe now, not optically looking through a lens as in a telescope, but by picking up the sounds that are coming from the stars. Well, how do we know about that? We learn it from the Bible. For the Bible says that the stars sing out. That word sing, Hebrew word, Renan, means a high, shrill sound. God told us way centuries. He told us the stars are sending out these sounds. And I think it was 1956 when we first got started on this. And now we're able to penetrate the universe far deeper than we could ever optically see. And scientists now tell us there must be more galaxies in the universe than there are sands in the sea. So when God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, when he says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now what's interesting is that passage of scripture doesn't end there. Here's what it goes on to say. Look at that. This is the important thing. I don't want you to ever miss this. Once you become a Christian, you don't just sit, you know. I remember somebody went in for tests. They were applying for a job. And on his application, the man said, I have 22 years experience at this work, this job. So they brought him in. They gave him a test to see what would happen. And then they brought him back for a second interview, and this is what they said. You reported you have 22 years experience, but our tests show that you have 1 year's experience 22 times. What a tragic thing to become a Christian and never grow forward more than a bit. And the same bit, and you learn the same thing, and you don't. When in fact, God has whole dimensions. Now, what's this? Because the next verse after this one we just referred to, it says this. Let's take a look at it. Just like the rain comes down from heaven, and the snow, and it returns not thither, but it gets down on the earth and waters the earth, and it makes the seeds that are in the earth bring forth and bud, so that they may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Watch this now. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me zero, void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. In other words, we learn God's thoughts by his words. And if we do that, it will produce amazing prosperity in our lives in every dimension. In fact, this is what will happen to you. You will go out with joy. You know, I don't know, but if there's one way to tell if a person really got the real deal with God, if there's one thermometer, one way to measure the temperature of Christianity, it's how much joy you got. Some people have a face so long that look like they got a face like a saxophone, and they think that that's being Christian. That's not being Christian. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, boy, when you've got God and when you've got thinking that is so phenomenally smart, you can't help. Let's go back to the verse. You're going to go out with joy. And look at this. You're going to be led forth with peace. Whew. Calm. Serene. Serility. Now watch this. Because it gets so good. It's like you're going to go out with joy. You're going to be led forth with peace. Now watch this. And it's going to seem to you like the mountains and the hills will break forth before you in the singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Here you go. That's what it's going to feel like. Wait, why? You see, God designed his way of life for you and describes it as riding upon the high mountains of the earth. Uh-huh. So you're going to go out with joy. God, would you learn to think right? Isn't anything can get you off track. Because as high as the heavens are above the earth, now you've got the thoughts of God. So you go forth with joy, you're led forth with peace, the mountains and the hills. Now watch this next scripture. Because remember, we get reborn. A second step is learn to think right. And when we learn to think God's thought, looks what this next scripture says will happen. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree. Instead of a briar shall come up myrtle tree. And this is going to be a sign, everlasting sign. It'll never be cut off, according to the Lord. Watch the intelligence monitor with me now. Because instead of your life looking like thorns, it's going to look like the fir tree. Instead of your life looking like the briar, it's going to look like the myrtle tree. Wow. How does this happen? It happens when you become a Christian, genuine, real, sincere, sound from center to circumference. When God comes into your life, and then you learn to think his way. You think his thoughts. Take a look at the screen again. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. My, my. Let's go on to another scripture. Because here's what the ways of God will do. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law is the thoughts of God, right? They convert the soul. They convert the mind and the emotions, okay? Oh, they're perfect. Look at it. And the testimony that the Lord gives is sure, and it makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, and they rejoice the heart. And look at this. The commandment of the Lord is so pure. You can see straight now. You can evaluate life. You can evaluate people. You can see past their motives. Because the commandment of the Lord is pure and enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. No contamination. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and they're righteous altogether. How? See, if you learn to think God's way, you adjudicate, you make judgments the way based on proper thinking. And they are true and they're righteous altogether. Now watch how this is summed up by Scripture, which does it way better than I could even attempt to. Because remember, first step, you become a Christian, you become reborn. But then we've got to learn to think God's way about every subject. And that's why, watch this now. These are more to be desired than gold, yea, than 24 karat gold. And moreover, by them, they're sweeter also than honey. The words of God aren't bitter in our mouth, they're sweet. And look at this. And moreover, by them as thy servant warned. It's going to keep you out of trouble, doo-doo, all kinds of it. And look at this. And in keeping of the words of God, there is great reward. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the first step is to become a genuine Christian, be reborn. But then we need to rethink. We need to think right. That's why the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. It's the first commandment. All thy mind. Love the Lord. Look at this. Love the Lord with all thy mind. So we don't think the way mere men think now. We were reborn from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And now we learn to think right about every subject that touches our life. That is why one of the famous scriptures of the Bible says this. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Got to get the mind. See, it's not enough to just learn that God thinks that way. We've got to learn to think the same way all the time, every time. Because when we do that, that is how we can prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. Got to learn to think. What an interesting scripture is. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Really a big one. Now we could spend a lot of time on this. Paul asked the question, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct? Who's going to tell him? But we have the mind of Christ. Incredible as it may sound, we have been born again, have access to the very thoughts of Christ. So, if you go to the website, I want to help you go farther with it. Because remember, first step, become a Christian, be born again. Second, learn to think right. How do you do that? So watch here. You can go to our website, nothingbutthetruth.org. And there are three parts of this on how to think like God. Phew. What's inside the mind of God? Oh, you don't understand how tempting I am going through right now to want to divert and talk to you about what's in the mind of God. I just yielded. I won't tell you a little bit. You know what's in the mind of God? Do you know what's in the mind of God? Answer. You are God. Mr. Big Creator, designer of the whole universe. Father of you, by the way. That's why Jesus taught a prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. So what's he thinking about? What's in his mind? So if we could do a speck of his mind, you would find yourself there. Well, Paul, okay, so he thought about you once. No. Do you want to know how many times you were in the mind of God? If you go to Psalm 139, you'll find the answer in those first 18 verses. Thy thoughts to me, are you ready? Thy thoughts, O God, to me. To you, dear listener, are more in number than the sands. Oh, I got to get back to it. So, what seems right versus what is right? You need to watch that video because there's things that seem right, but they aren't really. You want to really know how God thinks and how to think like God. Then there's this teaching called the Curriculum for Healthy Thinking. Scripture outlines 8 ways that you should control your thinking. And the outcome of that is miraculous. Then there's this thing on how to have success. And I'm tempted all over again to tell you some more about this, because it's going to be related and you're going to catch it. Because when you learn to think God's way, everything you do will be successful. It's why a long time ago, I decided I would rather have a knowledge of God without an education than an education without a knowledge of God. Verses like this book of the law shall not depart of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, according to all is written. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You'll get over any inferiority complex, because they're artificial, once you know the words of God. Now, I want to take you to part 2B. A, we get born again. B, we learn to think. How do you think like God? That's what we've been talking about. But then I want to include an addendum on this rethink, because there's so many subjects you should learn to think aright. Okay? So, for example, you want to learn how to wisely deal with fools, because there's lots of them. You've got to be careful how you handle a fool. How do you end mental disorders? Okay? Because, again, we got reborn. Now we're rethinking God's way, and God's going to give us his thoughts on how to end mental disorders. Okay? How to end, from the Bible point of view, bipolar. How to calmly face opposition. 12 reasons not to judge other people. How to understand authority properly, because there are two problems with authority. One is to ascribe to someone more authority than they are legitimately right to, and the other is to take from them. Understand authority. How to handle trouble. The purpose of suffering. 7 Bible instructions for husbands. 7 Bible instructions for wives. And there's 7 instructions for both husbands and wives. You will learn, as you think God's way, about what it means to be a real father. Biblical fatherhood. A father like the Father. What to do when you're betrayed. Oh my. You want to know God's thoughts about that. What to do if someone betrays you. You're going to learn the principles of peace. How to live without depression. Living without being offended. This is a big one. How to develop moral intelligence. Big need in the whole country and the whole world today, right? Moral intelligence. Duh. How to give thanks instead of being a grumbler, and the benefits of it. You're going to learn the difference, the contrast, and how God and money relate to each other. Strange how God and money are just a position so often, but the Bible is going to show you how God thinks about money. How to have genuine self-acceptance. Without that, there will be no mental health. Without genuine self-acceptance, you will only experience the tendency to self-destructive behaviors. See why you need to think right about yourself? You need to think God's way about every subject that touches your life. How to live without lust. How to build your household. What does hell got to do with the love of God? Is that possible? How to discover your embedded natural ability. Oh my. And on the subjects go. Catch up. 1, you get converted, reborn, genuine encounter with God, reborn. Secondly, learn to think God's way about every subject that touches your life. Third step is we must learn how to refocus our emotions. Now, it's like this. If thoughts are going one way and emotions are going the opposite way, that makes tough living. How much easier it is if you know that God says, go this way, and you can get your feelings turned around going in the same direction as God's thoughts. That's what this third step. You want to teach people how to come to Christ for sure, for real. You want to teach them how to think God's way about every subject. And you want to learn the principles, teach them the principles of how to get their feelings going the right way. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures here. Whoso keepeth the commandment, the thoughts of God, right? Watch, shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart will discern both time and adjudication. Shall feel no evil thing. Can you imagine? I like the scripture too. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they should feel after God. Yeah. Does God have feelings? You bet he does. Does he feel for you? He surely does. Should we feel for him? Changed my life many, many years ago. When I began to ponder, how does God feel about me, about my behavior? How does he feel? And I was shocked when I studied, for example, the life of Jesus. He would weep over people. He had feelings. One time he stood on the looking over the city of Jerusalem, and this is what he said: "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered thee in my arms like a hen doth gathering a chick, but you would not." Listen to John 5:40. "You will not come to me that you might have life." Oh, listen to this. "Oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? How have I wearied thee? Testify against me." Somebody stand up and tell me where I've gone wrong. See, that's why today so many people don't really know God. He's not far from any one of us, but they might feel after him. Look at this. Feel after him. Look at this. And find him. Because in him we live and move and have our being. Now watch this. "As certain of your poets have said, for we also are his offspring." That's what you are. You're the son or the daughter of Almighty God. And you don't think he cares about you or feels for you? So we must learn how to refocus our emotions. So let's talk about this. This is because the third step. Now remember the scripture. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, emotional strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now watch this. And bring into captivity every thoughts. Why that? Because feelings come from thinking thoughts. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I don't want you to miss this. This is the big, this is one of the big secrets. I have six that I'm going to share with you eventually, but I'm going to just give you one today. Watch this now. When you think on a thought, it will always produce a feeling. If you think a hateful thought towards somebody, you'll get a hateful feeling. Because feelings follow the thoughts. They're like the trailer following the towing vehicle. So if you think a thought, it produces a feeling. The feeling turns to an attitude and or an action. And then the attitude and action turn one of two ways. If it was a good thought, it produces a good feeling and a great attitude and a great attitude, you get elation. Oh, wow, that's so good. But it doesn't end there. Watch this now. Because let's say, for example, you think a loving thought. So you think a loving thought here. And what do you get here? A loving feeling. And you get a loving attitude and a loving action. And you get the sense of elation. But watch this. Now this thought process that produces feeling, attitudes, action, and elation comes back here, the same thought comes around again. And you go through the process again and again and again and again. And this is how you develop a habit. Always elated. Now watch this. In contrast with that, if you think the wrong kind of thoughts, they will produce the wrong kind of feelings, wrong kind of attitudes and actions. And what do you get? Instead of elation, you get discouragement, depression, despair. In fact, that leads to guilt. And that feedback starts all over again. The guilt turns more thoughts that are evil to... And we build what the Bible calls in Romans chapter 7, the old manner of life. So, changing our thoughts changes our feelings. And so, remember the sequence here. Become a born-again Christian. Learn to think God's way about every thought. Learn how to get your emotions under control. How you do that? Go to the website, nothingbutthetruth.org. How to control your emotions. There's a 30-minute teaching on that. How to properly control emotions. How to control imaginations. Whoa. And in fact, what are the principles of peace? The joy of living by commandment. And how to calmly face opposition. There's so many. In fact, I have a book. You can watch this on the website, called How to Have Peace in Difficult Times. Why? Because God wants your emotions under control. Emotions were never designed to be a guidance system. Instead, emotions are designed to be the energy behind right choices and good thoughts, instead of the energy behind wrong thoughts. We don't follow our emotions. Emotions always follow our thinking. We must learn to refocus our emotions. Best lesson I learned on this one was when I was getting my pilot's license. Because after you got your pilot's license, you had to do another 10 hours of night flying to get your night endorsement. And I was flying in a precarious situation, Lake Huron on one side and Georgian Bay on the other, in this little peninsula. And I was up flying in the pitch of night, dark of night. I could see a long way. And then I heard my instructor say, get back to the airport. Snow flurries are coming. Headed back to the airport, sure enough. It was like somebody wrapped a white blanket right around the front of the windshield of the airplane. I didn't know. Just couldn't see the stars, the sky, the moon. I couldn't see the ground. Couldn't see anything except this blurring white. I'll never forget that moment because I learned a life lesson there. I looked down at my vertical speed indicator, which said I was losing altitude at 2,500 feet a minute. I felt like I was in level flight. The vertical speed indicator, the VSI, said I'm heading down. I had to make a choice. Believe my feelings, believe the instrument panel. It was a difficult choice. I pulled the nose of that airplane up. I thought it was going to fall out of the sky because I felt like it was level. And when the vertical speed said I was at 0-0, it felt crazy. I looked down one time and the artificial horizon showed me in a 45-degree bank to the left. I was terrified. How could that be? I felt like I was in level flight and not in a turn at all. And I had to choose between the instrument panel and my feelings. I chose the instrument panel, or I wouldn't be in front of you today, in front of this camera. It didn't feel good. I was flying beyond my experience. I was not instrument certified. I was following the ADF, the automatic direction finder, towards the airport. But I couldn't see anything. And I decided not to follow my feelings, but the instrument panel. Eventually, I saw the glow of the runway lights because I lowered the plane at a certain 500 feet a minute. And I did the shortest circuit you ever saw. And I walked in, and my instructor said, we both learned something tonight, didn't we? We sure did. That lesson has lasted me a lifetime. Until this day, it's not just when you're in an airplane, but when you're flying through life, you want to follow the instrument panel, not your feelings. Make your feelings follow the instrument panel. And what is the instrument panel? God's thoughts will always keep you on target. Okay, number four, learn to replan your life. Get this straight now. Reborn, get your head right. Next, get your, first one, get your heart right. Rethink, get your head right. Change your emotions, get your feelings right. Now you gotta get your life right. You need to plan your life. Can't plan your life if you haven't learned to think right yet, correct? Right? So let's look at a couple of scriptures. He that is in the way of life keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof errs. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Wow. And in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So I want you to catch this now. When we replan, what we're really talking about doing is planning our lives all over with the new thoughts, new feelings, being born again. So we set spiritual goals, educational goals, domestic goals, vocational goals, ministry goals, financial goals. So replan is where we're starting to put our life together. Remember the sequence. Get your heart right, be reborn. Get your head right, learn to think God's way about every thought. Get your feelings right, following the proper thoughts. Learn to replan your life. And to help you further with that, you could actually go to our website again, and we have a whole bunch of teachings there on how to do that. How to know God's purpose for your life. How to make lifelong resolutions. What embedded natural ability has God given you? What does it mean to be diligent? How to live without being unemployed? And how we've just got bunches there for you to help you plan your life. Don't let anybody else plan it for you. You can plan it if you have Jesus in your heart, you've been born again. You learn to think God's way about every thought. You control your emotions so they don't control you, and now you replan your life. And then lastly, the last step in maturing, bringing someone else forward as a Christian, a new Christian, or even your own life, where are you at in this process? Are you still back at the born again, or is it time for you to learn to think God's way about a whole bunch of different subjects? Where are you in the process? Because there's a basic rule we're going to cover next. We're going to do a series on Christian counseling. The first principle is establish the need before you proceed. So number five now is, remember, reborn, rethink, refocus emotion, replan your life. This one's called reproduce. This is what Jesus said. Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Oh. Now, there's a big difference between fishing for fish and fishing for men, but it is an analogy. When you fish for fish, you bring them from life unto death. But when you fish for men, you bring them from death unto life. And Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He's going to show us how to bring others in like we have been brought in. And so, we have whole bunches of teaching on that. Let me just duck out of the way and let you take a look at some of them. Part of this series, All In to Reach Out. How to be a red hot Christian. Iniquity when men play God. How to draw from the wells of salvation. How to handle difficult people. I mean, there's all kinds of subject matter available on nothingbutthetruth.org. So let me see if I can get to the hitching post. Discipleship is being born again, learning to think God's way about every subject, getting our emotions under control, replanning our lives, and then reproduce. And what do we mean by reproduce? Here it is. We bring someone else to number one. And after we bring someone else to number one, we teach them everything we know so that they can rethink like God's thoughts. And what do? Then we share with them the principles we learned on how to refocus emotions so they can refocus their emotions. Then we share with them the principles of how to replan your life so they can begin to replan their lives. And then, you know what? We teach them everything we know about how to bring others to number one. Teach them to number three, number four. So number five is bringing other people through the same process. And this, my friends, this is what we call discipleship.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/C. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/C. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/C. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE.